It's 8:19, and you're listening to Morning Edition on KASU Jonesboro. I'm Mark Smith. Joining me this morning by phone is U.S. Senator John Bozeman. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, as always, Mark.
Good to have you with us. We know our topic that's on everyone's mind right now, of course, is Syria. The president addressed the nation last night regarding the situation in Syria, and he had originally intended to simply take the case for limited airstrikes against the Assad regime in retaliation for its use of chemical weapons, but I imagine there was some quick rewriting of his speech going on as new developments came to light throughout the day yesterday.
Yes, sir, there was. You know, the Russians have come forward with a plan, and so we'll just have to wait and see, how that evolves. This is really a difficult thing for the president. There's really no good choices. Mm-hmm. If you hit them hard, and you destabilize the regime, there's no guarantee that the group that, would take over really any better than he. And I think you have a really good chance of winding up like Libya. If you just kind of, slap them on the wrist, then I think that shows weakness and is not a good situation. And so, at this point, I've been pretty strong about staying out, not doing anything. But perhaps this is, something working with the Russians who it's difficult. They have not been very helpful lately. And so hopefully this will work out and defuse the situation.
Well, yeah, as I understand it, Russia has tentatively at least agreed to pressure its ally Syria to turn over its arsenal of chemical weapons and join the Chemical Weapons Convention. That's a kind of coalition of nations that bans the use of these weapons. Would Russia have made this effort without the threat of U.S. intervention?
I don't think so. I think that certainly that did make a difference. And not only us, the world was not with going with the United States, in an attack. But I do think that this has generated tremendous discussion all over the world, and public opinion is certainly very much against them. It is difficult in the sense, though, that while they're doing this, while they're trying to, hopefully helping to broker a deal, they're also, continuing to send Assad arms.
Right. And, do we trust Russia to do what they say they will? How will we, verify that they're following up on what they're proposing?
Yeah, no, that's the problem. How do you do that? And so I do think, though, that it is a chance of moving in the right direction. And, we are working the diplomatic process. I do think that, right now the United States should not get involved directly. You can say what you want, but anytime you drop a bomb on somebody or a missile, that's certainly an act of war.
Yeah, the president has made clear that his plans were for limited airstrikes and that there were no plans involving direct troop involvement or boots on the ground, as we've heard. Do you feel that the action the president proposes would lead to deeper involvement?
Well, I think that's the lesson that we've learned, hopefully learned in Iraq and Afghanistan and Libya. It's easy to get, involved in these things. It's much more difficult, to pull back. And so I think that there is likelihood of that certainly, causing much greater involvement for the United States than we are right now. And I just don't know that there's any good path forward. Strike them hard. The president said he hadn't going to do that. That's really all they respect. A tap on the wrist. Again, I think there's a problem with that they might feel like they can get away with this stuff with really very minor consequences.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about the red line, and different people have different ideas of what the red line should be or what it is. For many people, that red line involves a direct threat to the security of the U.S. and its allies, and these same people say that the situation in Syria doesn't meet that criteria, and therefore we should stay out of it, and that sounds like what you're saying as well. Did the president make his case for how our lack of response would open the door to these kind of threats?
Well, I don't think so, and I think the mistake that was made, and again, this is a very difficult situation for the president, and during these times, we need to rally together as a country. But I think when the president talked about a red line, at that point, he should have had a game plan, made up so that if they did cross it, here's what he would do, and I think do it immediately. I do appreciate the fact that he came to Congress, and so as they did that, he should have come to Congress and they've done this, you know, here's what we're going to do, and then go ahead and do it. This thing has become almost like a reality show, you know, dragging on and on, and it's just not a good situation.
Well, you know, the president last night quoted from some of the individuals, the citizens that he's heard from, saying things like, we're tired of war, why do we have to be the world's policeman? And those sentiments are certainly understandable, and we all feel those. But do we also run the risk, as the president has tried to point out, of putting ourselves in the role of the person who sees someone being attacked on the street and doesn't do anything to stop it?
Well, I really think the American people are smarter than that. You know, certainly we are war-weary. We're a nation now that is really struggling economically. You know, our economy's picking up, and yet, you know, we have significant deficit spending. I think the real concern here is that there's an understanding, you know, that this is a civil war. It's become a Sunni-Shia thing that has been going on, you know, since the 6th or 7th century. And, you know, it's just difficult to resolve those things. And so I think that's really where the people of Arkansas, the people of America at, is, you know, this is a no-win situation. You know, we can't resolve this. You know, we've been trying, but very reluctant to, you know, put at risk additional American casualties with retaliation and maybe making the situation worse.
And of course, as we know well here in Arkansas, if this plan from Russia moves forward, and we're talking about getting rid of the stockpiles of chemical weapons from Syria, we know that dispensing of chemical weapons is a very time-consuming process. Here in South Arkansas, we took over a decade to dispose of just part of our stockpile here in the U.S. So it's a very long process. And how do we go about making sure that that's done properly?
Well, those are, you know, part of the things that will have to work out. You're right. You know, the in Arkansas, we played a critical role in getting rid of the stockpile that America had. And so that's something that will need to be worked out, making sure that they are disposed, that they don't fall into others' hands. Another argument for not, going in is if you did strike with authority and destabilize the regime, there's a pretty strong argument that if Assad goes, the rebels come in, that you might have a greater chance of these things being dispersed all over the place, with the new regime that perhaps is bad or worse than Assad.
Yeah. So the president announced last night that this vote would probably be delayed in Congress, vote on going in or not. And so now the debate on Syria was on the front burner. Now is it moved to the back burner? Is it just turned down to simmer, if we use the stove analogy? Where are we when Congress comes back into session and starts dealing with this?
Well, I think the reality is the vote was delayed because the votes weren't there. There simply wasn't the mood in Congress, you know, after visiting with their constituencies. I think certainly in the House, and I think also in the Senate. So this will kind of move over to the back burner, depending on what happens over there. Right. And it's such a volatile region. Now, I think, you know, coming forward, we need to get the continuing resolution set. You know, the budget problems, get those resolved. There's a number of other areas, things like the big water bill that's will be going to a vote in the House, I believe, next week. Those things aren't glamorous. But, you know, ensuring that the Mississippi River has adequate funding, the Arkansas River, our inland waterways, our ports, those are the things. We talk a lot about jobs and the economy. Those are the things that are so important and really will maintain the jobs that we have and create additional jobs in being the underpinnings of our economy.
And this goes to the pressing matters that Congress already had on its plate coming back from the August recess before the Syria matter heated up so much, not the least of which is the Farm Bill, which is again up against a looming deadline.
Right. No, the Farm Bill is we have to deal with that. We'll probably have a short-term extension of the current bill. I'm pleased to be a conferee, and we'll be working with the House when they name conferees. But this is one of those other things. In regard to the economy, the way to get it moving forward is to give stability. Our farmers now don't know what the rules are going to be for the next 5 years. So because of that, they're not buying equipment. That's not filtering into the local economy because they're not making purchases like that and all of the other things. So hopefully we'll be able to get that done. I think we've got a good chance of it before the first of the year. I don't know exactly how it will be done. The good news is I think the average congressman is understanding how important that is to their state's economy and to the economy of the United States.
And, of course, as you mentioned, there are still these budget matters to deal with. You have the effects of the sequester still going on and another showdown on the debt ceiling on the way as well.
Yes, sir. All of that is coming about. You know, I'd like to see some tax reform mixed in with that. We'll just have to wait and see as we go forward. But these are all, you know, significant problems. And the reality is, you know, we can't continue to have the deficits that we have. We do have to, you know, be very, very, the reality of the significant national debt that we've had and do some things to start trimming that back. This is like gravity. You know, these are simple truths. You just can't spend a whole lot more than what you have coming in.
And then, of course, there's health care. I understand one of the things you're proposing is a delay in implementing both the employer and individual mandates in Obamacare.
Well, health care is really an absolute mess. We're at 20,000 pages of regulations, $1 trillion worth of additional taxes. They estimate, because people aren't hiring due to this, 800,000 job loss, and we're rapidly becoming a nation of part-time employees with businesses trying to beat the system. So it's simply not working. You know, is all we've got to go show for it so far. And I think, you know, even much, much more so next year is increased premiums and deductibles. And so it's not a good situation. I'd very much like to start over, but the current situation is not workable.
Well, there have been, you know, many, many attempts to start over, to repeal this, but those have been unsuccessful. And are you in support of the efforts to defund the ACA?
Well, I'd like to defund it, but what I don't want to do is you defund it by having the votes to do that. And right now, you know, the votes simply aren't there. So the problem is if you really push that, what that means is that the House and the Senate will come to a stalemate. President Obama won't have anything to do with this. The House will have enough votes to do that. The Senate simply won't act, or they'll vote against that, so you'll have a stalemate. When that happens, then the funding for the government will shut down. We haven't passed any of the appropriations bills so far, and so you know, the local food processing plants there, those workers will have to go home because the inspector won't be there. My concern is, you know, what does that do to, you know, hardworking Arkansans, Americans? What does that do to single moms, you know, that are struggling, and really all of us, you know, but especially, you know, people that are struggling so much? If they go home and aren't paid, you know, for those weeks when they're out of work, nobody is going to pay them. And so you're holding the American people hostage, and I just don't agree with that strategy.
So can you take the current health care law and fix some of the things that you feel are wrong with it?
No, I think you can do that, and you know, but again, there's been real resistance to changing. I think the fear of the president, Senator Reid, and that group is that when you start opening it up, then there's the ability to really amend in ways that they simply don't want to do it. Now, one of the core things that we've got to do in controlling cost is get rid of nuisance lawsuits. And yet, you know, they're not going to do that. You know, they simply, you know, have really made it such that that's been very difficult. So that's really the problem. But and since you can't do that, you know, since you reach an impasse there, then I'd like to see us go, you know, the private market with more competition, shopping across state lines for insurance, allowing people like my barber with a few employees to go into the marketplace with 1,000 other barbers and get a better deal. health savings accounts, those kind of things. But this is affecting everybody. It doesn't matter if you're a school teacher or a worker in a major corporation or self-employed. The problem with health insurance when all of this started was it was unaffordable. That's the problem we needed to solve. And sadly, this has created a situation where it's made it that much more unaffordable.
We just got a short time left. Of course, today is September 11th, 12 years since the attacks that changed our nation and our world, and almost to the minute, as a matter of fact, from those attacks, a tragedy that happened. What have we learned, and what do you reflect on as we look back on that day and on the years since that time?
Well, I think, you know, there's been so much tragedy that's happened as a result of that. I think that one of the things that we've learned is the tremendous sacrifice on the part of our first responders, our firemen, our policemen, you know, the medics, all of those that went in and gave their lives. And that really illustrated, that goes on in America all the time, you know, that we have, first responders that are willing, on a daily basis, if the need be, to put their life on the line. And then also, I think the tremendous service that our military, has done. And so a real appreciation for those people. And the other thing is, this is one of those times, you know, in my life that I'll always remember, you know, where I was at and those things. So it's just a special, special day.
All right. Well, Senator John Bozeman, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, sir.
You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU.